different phases of art. You have done drawing and cartooning and lettering and, of course, oil and watercolor. And what is your favorite style of painting? Let's talk about style first. What kind of painting do you like to do?
I like to use oil better than any medium. There's several mediums out, acrylics and all that, but I'm sticking with oil. Yeah. Because I can handle
you
it
like
a bit.
It. Now, we, in regard to style, we even the layperson has seen a number of the styles of painting in the last few years, abstract and other forms. What is your favorite way of painting, style?
My favorite painting style of painting is painting what I see.
Realistic.
Realistic painting representing the beautiful places around where you visit, in Decatur especially, because I've done all my work right here in Decatur. And I like to, at first I used to go out and paint, but you can't get enough work done, and the light changes on you. And I prefer to take a picture of it in color now. I used to take them in black and white and paint them in oil.
Yes.
On canvas.
And you like nature?
I like nature, and of course the landscapes are my favorite. I like to go around streams, as you can see, most of my pictures have water in them.
You enjoy water.
And there's a lot of little beautiful compositions, I call them, around Decatur that you could put and make a picture out of.
Just, what are your favorite places?
Well, right now my favorite place is around Big Creek, which is my up there around Baltimore Avenue, and the Rock Springs. Environmental Center has a lot of scenery to paint, and I have painted several there.
Now, you take photographs, you say, but these don't look exactly like photographs. There's a difference between your painting and the photograph, isn't there? Some difference?
Well, not much.
You try to paint it just as the photograph records it.
As near as I can get it, there's different techniques of putting your paint on the canvas too, which some artists like, are bold, real bold, and others like various different techniques that suits them. And my technique, I just paint as near as I can get to the actual scene that I see, and I don't change any of the composition in it either.
You don't?
Very little. I may move a tree a foot or two one way or the other, but I said I very seldom even change the composition, because I said I'm looking at, that's what attracts me to it. And if it's got good composition,
you pick a good composition in the beginning.
In the beginning.
Now, you paint at different seasons. Do you have a favorite season that you like to paint?
Actually, fall is the most colorful, and I've painted more fall. And I love winter scenes, but that's out of question now.
Yeah. You used to take pictures, photographs of winter scenes. You didn't sit there and paint in the freezing weather.
No. With the photographs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you did a remarkable job of getting the effects of frozen streams and snow and so on. as well as other seasons. Did you do any portraits ever?
No, not actually portraits. The only thing I ever did was when I was in school, I had some of the models. Even out of Milliken, they had models in night classes that I would, and I would love to do it, but I just never had a place to have a model come to my home and paint. I was so crowded with space that I never had that opportunity to get on my days off to bring somebody in and paint.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't set up for it.
You've had a number of honors. What were some of these honors that you have received and exhibits where you've shown your work?
Well, the one, or most of them, is the Blue Mound Fair. I have won first down there, and every time I've entered it, except what, two.
Uh-huh.
And those were when I was first starting in down there. Uh-huh. And I've never sent out my pictures into any other exhibits, because the problem of carrying them around, I don't have a car that I can carry more than two or three paintings.
And it's quite a lot of work to to display.
I used to have a car that I could carry 12 in. And then I was putting them, had one-man shows around.
Yeah.
Like in the library, and I could put up 12 pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But that car wore out, and I didn't buy a station.
we mentioned photography, and you helped to form a photographic club, didn't you, a camera club? Who was involved in that? Were there other people?
Yes, there was a big group in that. Mr. File of the File Camera Shop was the one that started it. And he called a meeting, and I imagine there was about 25 people attended. Maybe more. And right after that, next meeting, our club was formed, and I attended the meeting, and of course that was the original group. So I took that up seriously too, because I thought it was fun to picture on pictures.
Yes.
And I got an enlarger and all the equipment and processed my own.
Yes.
But that's different than the camera club today. The black and white has gone to the wayside, and mm-hmm. it's all color now, and you take color roll a color film and send it in to Eastman, and they do the work for you. Which I didn't like. I wanted to do my own work. And I never set up for color. That was too expensive and too late. And I didn't have time. That's been good.
But the camera club is still...
Yeah, it's still growing. Mm-hmm. And, they meet... in the winter time, I think their first meeting will be in September, and they go through to June.
What do you do at those meetings?
You view the pictures that the people take. They have assignments, rather, or each month you're supposed to have a certain thing to do, and like landscape or snow scenes or
people
and people at work even and machinery and anything if they happen to think something different. And then those are cast on a big screen and they're voted in and out. And then there's so much account for pictures. A picture was 15 down to one. And the ones that get the highest have a certain number. I think it's the number that they get. If they get 15, those are all added up, and at the end of the year, the person that has the highest number wins an award.
Right.
And I won several of those, only it was that time we didn't. In black and white, the judge them just like this, they viewed him, and the judge says, this is the best picture, and second place.
You had a judge, outside judge, to do it.
Yeah, outside, yes. And they have judges do it now, only they have a group of judges.
Where are the meetings held?
Well, the meetings were held at the basement of the First Methodist Church.
Oh, uh-huh.
Now, they had a hard time
finding a place.
Because the group is there. It's not big right now. Sometimes it gets up to 25 people or more. And sometimes it gets down to...
Now, you have to form another club, or at least you're interested in an astronomy club?
Well, where that was way back in the early 30s, mid-30s, I guess it was. YMCA man, out-of-town man, was here, and he formed astronomy club. Of course, it was announced in the paper, and I went, because I was interested in astronomy, too, just because my father had taught me a little about it. His father was an amateur astronomer, but didn't take with my father. And he would show me certain stars and say, that's so-and-so and that's so-and-so. And the particular one was Antares, in the southern hemisphere. It was the brightest star, and the reddest star in the heavens. And I could pick that out every summer. And then he got me up early in the morning to see Halley's Comet. And I watched Halley's Comet for about a week.
Yeah, that was in
1910. And I saw it before it went around the sun, and I saw it when it came back. And it came back close, because they say the tail of it went through the comet went through California. But I was out that night, and I didn't see anything extra.
But you did see it several times.
Oh yes, I saw it several times. Beautiful sight.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me interested in, and I wanted to build a telescope, and then I was reading up on that, and I had a book on it, and a friend of mine says, well, there's a telescope in Decatur here that's passed around, why don't you see if you can get it? And I did. I called the last fellow that had it, and he said, sure, you can have it. It belongs to so-and-so, but you can have it. So it was all in pieces, though. So they gave it to me, and I found the fellow that owned it, and it was the telescope mirror was ground in Decatur way back in 1910. And because I got a picture of it out of the Helton Review Library showing that telescope. Yeah, in somebody's backyard in the west end of town. And I kept it for...
Did you put it together?
Well, I did the best I could. The 10 inch is a big telescope.
Yeah.
The mirror was that big around. And some schools don't even have it. But I didn't have the money to mount it properly. And I made a tripod affair that would follow, that I could follow a star for about 2 or 3 minutes by myself. And we'd take that out. I got some pictures of it downstairs at the astronomy club. Out viewing. At that time we had running boards on the car, and I'd get somebody to help me, and he'd hold it on the running board while we went out to get out of town to places that away from the lights. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of nice things through that.
Very good.
But when I moved out here, I knew I couldn't see anything because the trees are so thick and too much moisture, so I sold it. But I had a lot of fun building that thing, and with the astronomy club, the World War II killed that. The man that was the YMCA man had to leave, and some of the boys were
out of service.
Yeah, and so it...
Is it still in existence?
No, but the high school does have I sold my telescope. Oh, I bought a 6-inch refractor, which is a beautiful thing, too. A man died and had it, and it was up for sale, so I bought it. Now, I don't know whether you know the difference between a refractor and a reflector.
No.
Well, a reflector, you have a mirror, and it catches the light and up to a prism, and you look through that. The other type is like the one you hold you like this and look right straight through. That's the refractor.
Uh-huh.
And that's the kind of big telescopes, like the big 200-inch.
Yes.
It's a refractor, because you couldn't hold a 200-inch up there and a mirror, a lens, and they're so hard to grind. And we used to have parties, and the wives would join us, and we would go wherever some of the time to go out to a club. There was a club out east of town, I can't think of the name of it now, where they had cottages, people lived, and we went out there one night and set it up.
Well, you have had some wonderful experiences, varied and very stimulating. I think it's quite inspiring to hear of someone who's had such a long life and so many interests.
Well, I don't know why. I'm just interested in everything.
We'll have to explain our little friend here, who is making himself known for the first time. Little dog. What's the dog's name?
Katie.
Katie. Oh, Katie had to put her name in on the program. do you want to have anything to add, Mr. Walters?
I don't know of anything.
I think we've covered
I can tell you more of what I do, but then...
We'd love to hear it.
Well, I work in clay.
Great.
I've fired some pottery.
Oh, good.
I've done wood carving. And ceramics, of course, and things like that, and jewelry.
Good.
I make jewelry, or have made it, I don't anymore. And I just keep busy.
Well, it's really a source of inspiration to other people to hear about all of your activities. We thank you very much for sharing them with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
We appreciate it. You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. Robert A. Walters, and this is Betty Turnell.